Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a BC members call taking place on the 26th of April 2013. On the call today, we have Jimson Olufui, Andy Abrams, Elisa Cooper, David Ferris, Aparna Sridhar, Marilyn Cade, Aisha Hassan, Anjali Hansen, Ron Andruff, Susan Kawaguchi, Steve Del Bianco, Chris Chaplow, Jim Baskin, and Richard Friedman. We have apologies from Caroline Greer, Bill Smith, Zahid Jamil, and Fred Fellman. I would like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Elisa.
Thanks, Benny. Well, first of all, I'd like to say a special hello to a new member, which is Rich Friedman from Pfizer. So welcome, Rich, to your first business constituency call. As we're discussing things, and I've mentioned this before on previous calls, there are a lot of acronyms, and I think we're all trying to do our best to explain what those acronyms are and give some background to some of the issues that we're talking about. But for everyone, obviously, you know, I think please use the Adobe Connect or speak up when you need clarification or more information about a particular item or subject or acronym. So moving on to today's agenda, I thought we would start off really with an open discussion and kind of open the floor to share our perceptions and thoughts and sort of the big takeaways from the ICANN meeting. So perhaps those of us who attended can share a bit about that and then sort of open it up for questions to others that we can all answer. Then we'll move on to a policy update by Steve. John, if there's anything that you'd like to go over in terms of the council, we'd love to hear from you on that. Marilyn, then, will, if there's anything to cover in the CSG, cover that. I have a few items, and then we have some time for any other business. So why don't we jump in and talk about ICANN 46, which was held in Beijing. And I guess I'd like to kick it off and then kind of just open it up, and I'd love to hear from others. But as I mentioned at the top of the call, it feels like in many ways in terms of the new GTLD program, which I thought was really one of the core focuses of the meeting, along with the registry agreement, which obviously is an important part of the new GTLD program, the registrar accreditation agreement, and then obviously the GAC advice. It feels like, in many ways, we're very close to the launch of the first new GTLD. In fact, the first new GTLD application was supposed to have been signed on April 23rd. Of course, that didn't happen. But it feels, at the same time, while we could be very close, we could be very far from that happening, given the GAC advice. And I don't know if I'd be happy to give a kind of quick overview of what I took away from the GAC advice, but if there's anybody else that would like to share their thoughts on it, I'd love to hear from, I'm sure everybody would love to hear from others as well.
Elisa, hey, it's Steve. The entire segment of policy, most of this policy segment coming up, is dedicated to the GAC advice. It might be better to save for that.
Okay. So we'll probably hold off on talking specifically. Probably we're going to cover the RA, the RAA, and the GAC advice during the policy section.
And I'd like to make an observation on the general meeting and put me in the queue for that.
Sure.
And it's Marilyn. I'll try to get into Adobe Connect. Can I get in the queue as well?
Sure. So Ron has his hand up. So Ron, and then we'll go to Steve and then Marilyn.
Thank you, Chair. I think with regard to Beijing, it was very much a pivotal meeting, as much as when the GAC and the board had the scorecard. But I think that there were some cavalier statements about what should happen with regard to the GAC, and I think people are forgetting how important the GAC is to ICANN as a whole, in so much as this is the only part, these are the only people from any government in the world that understand what ICANN is and tries to make it work on our side when they're at the ICANN meetings and on their side when they go home. So we really need to be very mindful and respectful of what the GAC's doing, and as much as the contracted parties or the wannabe contracted parties were very upset with these various things that GAC put forward, they were important elements to look at again more closely. So I hope that we can come to the drafting of a document that really reflects, one, that the GAC advice is important and shouldn't be taken lightly, and two, when it comes to a public comment period on GAC advice, we're wading into very dangerous waters. And I think that this is the second part about GAC, commenting on GAC advice, is troublesome in so much as our CEO is so anxious to make this all happen, and God bless him for, you know, being working 24 hours a day to do it. But this flip-flopping from, okay, we're going to have the GAC given advice, now we're going to have a public comment, oh, it's only going to be the applicants who comment, oh, now it's going to be everybody can comment, oh, now we've got two comment periods. It's just confusing, and we need to get this message very clearly across that we cannot send mixed signals out from such a high level of ICANN. And so those are the two issues that I really wanted to get on the table. And finally, the third one was singular plurals. Obviously, that's something we need to comment on, in my view, because that's a critical element as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Steve? Or actually,
aside from the new GTLDs, there are four observations from Beijing that I think everybody would want to remember. The first is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team version 2 kicked off. And it's got a lot of familiar faces on it of people that feel strongly that ICANN needs to do a better job of particularly accountability. There's opportunities for the BC to weigh in on that, and that's outside of the new GTLD program. That's ATRT, we call that. The second is policy versus implementation. I know the new GTLD program sort of stimulated that conversation around things like the straw man and rights protection mechanisms, but it's a far broader discussion. And it looks like we're going to have a working group coming up with a process to define when is implementation actually creating new policy, what's the definition, and what's the process to loop it back in for policymaking changes. Really going to be important. Another is the Who Is Expert Working Group, and that's outside of the scope of the new GTLD program. Susan Kawaguchi of Facebook's on the call. She's part of that group. And then finally, this RAA, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, while it's being negotiated as part of the new GTLD rollout, we do think that some of the improvements in the RAA need to trickle over into the old GTLD space at some point as well. So I would point to those four items that came out of Beijing with a lot of momentum, and they don't have much to do with the new GTLDs. Thanks, Elisa.
Great. Marilyn.
Thank you. I think Steve has covered a couple of points I wanted to make that I took away, and that is that the ATRT, too, is a priority to us, and when we talk about that in the next segment, I'd like to volunteer to work with others on responding to the questions. But I think we need to take the ATRT very seriously. The BC has been a leader in that space, so I'll just I support everything that Steve said about there'll be a working group on policy versus implementation, and the BC needs to be a thought leader on that, and we have some good work. I think we need to be strategically thinking about this concept of restructuring of ICANN and restructuring of the processes and working with CSG colleagues. One of them wants a very aggressive restructuring. We've kind of had the Little Red Riding Hood approach. We have the one wants a very aggressive big bowl of porridge. Another wants a middle-of-the-road approach, that BS, and another wants a minimalist approach, being the IPC. So on the restructuring, I think we need to be thinking strategically and maybe even being the thought leaders on that. And I took that away from what we heard and other conversations. We need to be thinking about what the extraordinary funds should be spent on at ICANN and limiting the use of auctions versus other better solutions, because auctions don't serve anybody's interest. They just put money into a pile, and I'm not making a comment about any applicant. I'm just saying for myself, looking at it from a business user perspective, we've got to think about strategically as business users, what happens on these extraordinary funds, and how do we make sure that ICANN's not viewed as selling off parts of the infrastructure of the Internet, because that is going to harm us with governments. I'm going to come back to that in my next two statements. I also think the SAC is totally not accountable to business users, and we should be thinking about how we improve that to work with CSOs.
Marilyn, can you explain, actually, before you go on, can you just explain very briefly what the ATRT is, why it was formed, and what they do, and then also what the SSAC is?
Sure. Sorry. So the I was on the President's Strategy Committee for 3 years that looked at improvements to ICANN, and much of what we proposed, it was a very elitist group, and but it did take huge public comment. We proposed a lot of changes, including a change in the relationship of the United States government to ICANN. That led to something called the Affirmation of Commitments, and the Affirmation of Commitments created four review teams, one of which is the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. So that's the acronym, ATRT. ATRT 1 has already concluded. We're now in ATRT 2. ATRT 2 has a call for public comments on a set of questions about whether they're addressing the right issues. And I think in Steve's next segment, we'll probably talk about how we put together BC comments on ATRT 2. But the issue here is ICANN being accountable and transparent, and are they meeting their bylaw requirements to act in the public interest? Are they accepting public comments and integrating the input of public comments into positions that they take? So it's kind of a trying to think for a corporation, maybe like Pfizer or other corporates, it's how are we meeting our corporate responsibility goals, and are we adhering to what the bylaws require us to do? On the SSAC, the Security Stability Advisory Committee is a group of advisors that have particular expertise in security that act as sort of a, I don't want to call it a watchdog, but I can't come up with a better word. They are assessing implications and decisions and trying to advise the board on whether a change that's proposed by somebody like the registries or the registrars or the introduction of massive numbers of new GTLDs, how is it going to affect the secure and resilient operation of the Internet's infrastructure? And ICANN has a limited role in that, but if you were to use a concrete example, in 2002, ICANN introduced new GTLDs that had more than 3 characters. So they went from .net to .museum, .info, .arrow. Nobody advised the ISPs that we were changing to more than 3 characters, and the non-3 character GTLDs didn't resolve for probably about 12 months. So the SSAC looks at issues like that. They look at integrity of who is, et cetera, and provide, and they are intended to be in a independent group that provides advice to the board as an advisory committee. Is that okay, Lisa?
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. I think it would just, for some of our newer members, it's helpful to understand what these acronyms are. I know that Aisha's had her hand up, and I'm sure that some of our other members might have some questions about the meeting. Is there anything else you wanted to add about your perceptions or thoughts on the meeting?
Just one, and that is, we'll talk about this later, but as someone who works with governments in a variety of settings, the fact that the governments managed to get funding to come and work with themselves and us from Thursday through Wednesday, huge, phenomenal commitment, and I think understanding how important that commitment was is something that the D.C. needs to better, you know, champion, because these governments cannot easily get the funding or easily do the amount of work they did. So I just wanted to flag that.
Thanks, Marilyn. Aisha.
Thank you. A couple of comments just to support the comments that Ron and Marilyn have made about the GAC. I won't repeat them, but I think that that's very important, and that links to ICANN in the broader internet governance landscape and the meetings that many of us will be at, where those relationships are important. So as the BC does develop comments on things, I think it's important for us to recognize their efforts. Secondly, I wanted to just say that on the ATRT2 questions, ICC tried, but we're not going to be able to submit comments on by the first deadline of May 2nd. So we will try to do comments in the reply comment period, and if the BC is going to do the same, I'm happy to, you know, share what the thinking is in my membership about that. I also think this is very important, and there weren't a ton of people in the room at the ATRT2's meeting, but it was a good meeting, and they're off to a good start, so I think it will be important for the BC to contribute. I also just wanted to mention, I thought that the stakeholder engagement meeting that was held was quite productive, and was the format was in a very constructive workshop kind of format for some of us who were there. I thought that it was a good way to engage the community in trying to talk about the various elements of stakeholder engagement. It'll be interesting to see what is done going forward. My last point would be that, in general, I thought that our meeting, the BC meeting and the day of constituency meeting day was good with the CSG, et cetera, and I think it is always helpful to have a mixture of the time that we spend together on certain issues and then looking forward and thinking about new ideas and then the interaction with some of the staff so that members get a chance to interact with the staff on particular issues of interest. So there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments or questions for those that attended, or thoughts from those or questions from those that didn't attend? Ron.
Just getting off mute, Chair. Thank you very much. I just wanted to support or add on to a comment that Aisha just made with regard to the constituency day. As those who were in the room, when we had our CSG meeting and we talked about the singular plurals issue, and we saw that there was a lot of fireworks, and it came from our colleagues over at the ISPs who were feeling like that we were cornering them and shoehorning them into a discussion with the board that they weren't prepared to have, even though they fully agreed that the idea of singulars and plurals is a ludicrous idea in terms of top-level domains having, you know, for those who are not familiar, we're talking about auto and autos, sport and sports, that there should not be two domains that say that are so close together. But there was an issue about the ISPs feeling that they had not had the time to talk about it. So I'm not sure if this is the CSG conversation or just the conversation as, from Beijing, but we might want just to consider and maybe throw this over to the CSG for consideration as to how the construction of the constituency day goes going forward, that in fact maybe we can meet within our constituencies first, then come to the table as a group and share ideas, and then perhaps take it to onto the meeting with the board. It's just an idea I wanted to throw out there because there was a lot of time and energy burned on process as opposed to the discussion of the issue itself in Beijing. Thank you.
If I can, Elisa, can I just comment on that? It's Marilyn with a factual update on that.
Sure.
Beginning two meetings ago, the CSG asked for a change in the meeting schedule on Saturday and Sunday to create a space for constituencies or CSG to meet during the weekend with full support of meeting rooms from ICANN. And that's a pending issue. And while I'm the CSG rep, Elisa, our chair, is the alternate. And it remains a pending issue. And I don't mean to put you or I on the spot, Elisa, but maybe we should, there's been a little bit of CSG conversation about this, and We have to address this very aggressively. I don't know if John is on the call or Zahid. I didn't see him. But this means taking back a space of time on Sunday and dedicating it to the constituencies or the CSG, so that that means meeting rooms and demands on ICANN's face. Maybe if we all agree that this is a priority, and I leave that in your hands, Elisa, to assess on if this is a priority, the IPC and the ISPs do want to move forward with the idea that we could have meetings on the Sunday.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and we should take that up with the CSG to see if we can make that happen.
But I think that would satisfy, Ron, this issue. Right, Elisa, that would help us with that issue. Because the ISPs, it really wasn't fair of them not to address this issue. They had it by email, but they didn't address it. But we need to be, so if we could park that, if it's okay with you, and come back to it, and I'll come back to you, Elisa, on how we might address it with the CSG.
Yeah, sounds great.
Excuse me, Elisa?
Yes.
Hello, this is Barbara Warner calling from the U.S. Council for International Business. I'm sorry that I'm a bit late on this call, but I just wanted to add on to the comments made by Aisha and others concerning the ATRT2 and the request for comments. I just wanted to let everyone know that USCIB hopes to make a submission. It's not final as I speak, but members think it's sufficiently important to provide their comments to me for a USCIB association-wide submission. They will be high-level in nature. Members would not prefer to assign numerical values to the specific questions, but we're optimistic that we can get a submission in by May 2nd. I just thought I would offer that to the group.
Oh, that's great. And you know, if we're able to collaborate, all the better.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we should probably move on to sort of our policy discussion and kind of get into the meat, because there were some very important policy issues at stake at Beijing. So, Steve, take it away.
Thanks, Elisa. But at this point of the discussion, we're not focusing on specifically what happened in Beijing, but what's in front of us on the policy plate, okay? And there were three topics I hope to squeeze into my 15-minute segment. One is the GAC advice, about which the BC has an opportunity to comment. The second is that Anjali Hansen is our rapporteur on comments on the new RAA. As you know, the final RAA was just posted, and they, of course, extended the reporting deadline. So Anjali, working with Susan Kawaguchi, Bill Smith, and I think Zahid is going to kick in some help too, but they want to try to come up with BC comments. So I'll let Anjali take a few minutes to talk about that. And then I think, Marilyn, I appreciate your volunteering on ATRT2 comments. None have been posted. And the ATRT2 comments are not on the findings, but the team is looking for input on the questions they should raise, input
right
on the structure and the framework. So the comments at this point don't require that constituencies take a position or that trade associations take a position. It's merely an opportunity to raise questions with the ATRT. So it's a sort of a low bar, and I know that deadline is the 2nd of May. So, folks, I sent around this morning a summary I did of the GAC advice on new GTLDs. I got it down to under 2 pages in an effort to try to structure the discussion. It covers a lot of different topics, but the only one about which public comments are being solicited is the section I have under 1B, which covers all of page 1 and the top of page 2, and that is about safeguards. The GAC advice also touched on their objections to specific applications. I have that up under 1A, and I don't think the BC would comment on that. Is there anybody
who thinks? Steve, I don't think we received your document.
Yeah, this is David. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I got it.
I haven't seen anything.
It was an email today, right?
An email this morning?
Yes, I did receive it.
I received it for discussion of BC comment on GAC advice for new GTLDs. Was that it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Is anyone who did not get it, so I can resend?
Well, maybe the secretary could send it. Did you send it? I'm sorry, is it Maybe Steve or you could just tell us, BC Private or BC GNSO?
GNSO?
Yes.
Oh, so it's a public document?
Sure. It's a guide to the – yes, you'll see why it's public. There's nothing in there that's confidential.
Oh, well, maybe somebody can just forward it to me.
I just did. I resent it again.
Okay.
We'll see if that gets out. And Benedetta, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I just sent it again as well. I've received it.
Great. And David, I think I forwarded it to you directly then.
Okay, thanks.
But what I tried
to do. Would it make sense to put it up on the screen?
Benedetta, can you do that?
Yes, of course.
Outstanding. Good thinking. What a concept. Let's use the computer for what it's supposed to do, right?
Except that I'm on my mobile and I can't see anything on Adobe.
All right, so the GAC advice covered a lot of topics, but the only one about which the general public is asked to comment on is what we'll call safeguards, and I'll go through that and solicit some input from BC members. That doesn't mean we could not decide to lob a comment in on something outside of the safeguards, and I have four examples where I think we might do that. Whether it's solicited or not, we could do so. Yeah, applicants, on the other hand, can comment on all of it, and I know that we have several applicants on the phone who probably are going to do that on their own. So under new GTLDs, under safeguards, the GAC has come up with six safeguards for all TLDs, all new GTLDs, and they are extremely robust. Only one of them is arguably in place today, number two, where it says that the terms of service that a registrant sees at a new GTLD should tell them that their use of this domain name prohibits malware, botnets, phishing, piracy, trademark, and copyright. Here's a question. Do most people think that TLD's terms of service for registrants already have that in their terms of service?
So, I'm sorry, I can't. It's Marilyn. I need to ask a qualifying question. While there might be members of the BC who are applicants, we don't deal with applicant issues in the BC. So your question to us is our views as business users, yes?
Yeah, of course. Everything under 1B is safeguards, and the BC is invited to comment on everything under safeguards from the BC's position as business registrants and users. So I ask the question, as registrants, are we aware that terms of service in TLDs already prohibit a registrant from doing things like malware, botnets, phishing, piracy, trademark, and copyright?
I'm going to respond to your question. It's Marilyn speaking for the transcript. I am familiar with what the requirements are, but I'm also familiar with the lack of adherence to the requirements.
Great. So these six items are something that are really ripe for the BC to comment on. And these are the six items right in the middle of the screen on Adobe. And for those of you not looking at Adobe, it's in my email under safeguards for all new GTLDs. And there's some very rigorous requirements in here that are genuinely new. And I guess we would thank the GAC for lobbing a lot of these in there since they reflect concerns that BC has argued for 10 years, things like registration abuse problems. Who is accuracy issues, handling complaints, suspending domains, violation of applicable law, fraud and deception. So a lot of this stuff is going to fit very nicely with things that the BC has been concerned with, but it's not as if the BC can pluck off the shelf written positions indicating we wanted to force all six of these onto new GTLD applicants. So I would like to take a cue in the BC about a general sense about whether these first set of six safeguards are things the BC would want to specifically comment on, and if so, whether you think we ought to support them or not. Take a cue.
I'd like to be in the cue with Marilyn.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Do you want to take a larger cue?
I do, but I didn't hear anybody, so.
Well, I think we're raising our hands on the Adobe.
Got it. I see some hands. I see Susan, Elisa, and Phil Corwin. Marilyn first, then Elisa, Susan, and Phil. Thank you.
So I always think it's important to say whether or not we have a conflict of interest. and representing contracted parties, and I don't represent contracted parties, but I do have a concern and have clients who are concerned about ICANN's stability and ability to work with the GAC in a productive and positive way. So I'll just say that before I make the following comment. I was amazed at the ability of the government to get financial support internally to come to spend all that work time. And as somebody who read all the objections and know how hard it is to work at ICANN, I was absolutely phenomenally impressed. And I work with many of these governments in other settings. Other than Suzanne Fenn, the rest of them don't do this work full time. So I think we need to recognize the commitment of governments in the GAC and then go into some specific issues. But I'm concerned about language that I heard in the public comment period from somebody from the IPC, who is an officer, but also, I know this is being transcribed, but she's also representing a candidate. I think we need to be really clear in what hat we're wearing at any point when we make comments, because the governments are very, very sensitive to this. And they're trying to understand who the commenters are and what the purpose of the comments are, whether they're representing a candidate or they're coming from a broader public interest perspective. So I would just say from the BC, I hope in our comments we can try to figure out who we are and be very clear about it and understand that the governments really respect the voice of the BC probably more than they respect the voice, I know this is being transcribed, but I'm going to say it anyway. More than they respect the voice of others, we've always shown huge integrity. And I'm just going to say these safeguard issues, those are real. They bring public interest forward. How they're fulfilled is a different issue than are they relevant and critical if this program is going to work. And I hope we can support that they are relevant and critical and then focus on how they get fulfilled.
Thanks, Marilyn. As we go down the queue and the rest of the folks, think about not the general but maybe the specific, because we do we have 2.5 weeks, so we have the time to work this out. But just generally supporting GAC advice is a little different than saying we think it's new policy or we think it's implementation of old policy. That policy implementation question will be key here, because that will help inform whether or not the ICANN rejects the GAC advice or suggests that it's going to lob the ball over to GNSO to develop new policy in a bottom-up way. And so let's try to be more specific if we can. Elisa, Susan, Phil, Andy, and then David.
Okay, so I think there's a bunch of different ways to approach this and things that we can consider. I mean, I think, and I know you don't want high level, but I think we can support additional rights protection mechanisms and things that will protect consumers, and so we can support the safeguards. The question is, in my opinion, like, actually, how does this get implemented? So does something change, is there going to be requirements? Will there be requirements before the new GTLD program is allowed to proceed? Basically, will the applicants have to comply, or will there be some? Because the issue I have with these safeguards is that they're very general, and they don't provide for the applicants a way forward. So, one, I think we need some more specifics as to how these things would actually be implemented. But we can support that these are good things. That said, for certain kinds of applicants, oh, let me state for the record that I have conflicts all over the place. Mark Monitor is a registrar. I have clients who I actually provided new GTLD application support for. So, but I'm speaking what I think is best for. What I'm talking about right now is what I think is probably the best for business. So, yeah, either we can ask for some specific requirements as to how these would be implemented if they were adopted, because the applicants are going to need that. Two, we can also say that sort of single registrant PLDs, really like the DOT brands, for instance, these aren't really applicable to them. That's another point we might want to make because they won't have this requirement for who has verification checks because they'll be the only registrant. And they can ensure that they won't be hosting malware, like all that stuff. So those are just some ideas and things that, you know, I think we might want to consider when drafting our comments.
At least the answer to one question you posed is that, is the GAC insisting that all this be implemented in contract before the TLDs are launched? And that is implied but not explicitly stated with respect to Section 1B. So I think the GAC implies they want all this done, but they didn't explicitly say don't launch.
Right. And another way forward might be to say, okay, we fully support these and we would like to see them implemented by way of a policy development process. So let's move forward, and we want these things implemented across all registries, not just new gTLDs. That's another way forward so that the program could continue to move forward and we get the benefit of all of this for all new gTLD registries. That's another thought or something we might consider.
Alicia, that final point was worth emphasizing, is that if the BC made a process point, it would support the substance of everything said, but it could say that this needs to be a policy development process, both to adhere to the bottom-up ICANN model as well as to have it apply to all TLDs, not just the new ones. That implication might be, though, Alicia, is that we would allow the new TLDs to launch under the current registry agreement. And I think to Marilyn's point, the GAC would suggest that that's not what they're after.
And if you would put me in the queue after Phil and anyone else, I'll respond to that idea and the practicality of a PDP approach.
Right. We have Susan, Phil, Andy, and David.
So I'm a little bit concerned with 2 and 6 of the registry requirements they're proposing, although, you know, right now in most of the registrar TOS, the registrants agree to not infringe, and, you know, there should be no fraud or deception. I mean, most of that is in the registrant TOS right now, but it's how it would be enforced. You know, you get swift action on malware bots and phishing, but, you know, who's going to define, you know, copyright or trademark infringement? And I'm really concerned about the applicable law. And so, and also in number 6, there, you know, it's immediate consequences, including suspension for inaccurate who is, although when it's truly the bad guy, that's great, but when people game the system and constantly report my, you know, own domain portfolio having an inaccurate who is, then, you know, Facebook.com does not have an accurate who is, but we get lots of reports for that. So, I mean, these are good when it's aimed at the bad guy, but when they're used against us, it's not so good. So I would be a little bit concerned about supporting it, and especially the applicable law.
That's great. So examples of unintended consequences would be essential for us to file that comment. You did say the words, these are good. Does that mean, Susan, you think you'd generally support the safeguards, but with of course, these clarifying questions and avoiding unintended consequences?
Right. I mean, for example, there's, you know, somebody in China owns a Facebook trademark registration. So if they asserted that trademark registration with a registrar, and said, you know, take down Facebook.com, you know, obviously most people would not do that, but, or, you know, then, and there, it was a shortcut process, I'd have a problem with that. I mean, I think the registrars and the registries need to be a little more responsible because they're benefiting from all these infringing registrations, but also, you know, it takes a lot of evaluation to decide what is truly infringement and what is not. So even though I'd love this, we have to be careful. in how it's implemented. So, I mean, so I think we just need to, you know, throw some caution in there. And what is applicable law? Because there's laws that are, you know, whose law are we?
Right. Is it where the registrant is based, where the registrar is based, where the user is, where the domain is hosted, where the there's five or six different ways in which that's potentially determined, and all might claim it's applicable.
Right. And, I mean, you know, are you going to assert Chinese law against Facebook? I mean, we're not allowed in China. You know, they block us. So, I mean, we just, I think, I mean, we deal with that term in every
We all experience it in Beijing.
But, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks of Facebook withdrawal, I was pulling my hair out.
Yeah, well, you can get it on your mobile if you had that. But.
All right,
You are, of course,
Yeah, thank you, Steve. I'm speaking here in individual capacity. I haven't had a chance to consult with my folks yet in this. I don't know if they'll have a position on any of this, but just general observations. One, I know, I heard them in the public forum, and I've read since charges that the GAC's coming in too late. This should have been put out 2 years ago. It's too intrusive. It's this. Or that, but I think the real politic of the situation is that these government representatives met for more than a week and pushed hard to come up with a document to deliver during the meeting on the last day of the meeting, and it's I think the politics are it has to be taken. I'm not saying it has to be agreed to in each and every instance, but that if ICANN's reaction is to say too much, too late, can't deal with it, blowing it off. I think governments will start to disengage from ICANN, and that will be deadly for ICANN in the long run. So I think whatever the reaction is from the community and the board eventually, it's got to take this stuff, it's got to deal with this stuff seriously. Second, I think just these general safeguards, we're not even getting into the more detailed ones for other categories of TLDs, would impose much more proactive monitoring duties on registries than I think they or others envisioned, and there's going to be a debate about whether it's appropriate and also the cost implications of that. For example, who is verification? Is that the registry's job? I thought that was just addressed by the new RIA. I mean, I'm not arguing one way or the other. I'm just saying we're going to see those debates on applicable law to add what's been said on trademark. Of course, we have UDRP, URS, Trademark Clearinghouse, et cetera. But applicable law, even if you're dealing with one nation, just in the U.S. this week, we had a decision on whether the arcane issue, but it's very important for all user-generated content sites, of whether or not pre-1972 sound recordings is covered by the safe harbor provision of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and the New York Supreme Court came out with a decision contrary to the federal court decision for that circuit and contrary to the Ninth Circuit. So applicable law isn't so easy to define even within a single nation on some of these IP issues. Third, I think the provisions 3 and 6, which refer to the registry suspending domains, I think as soon as you're talking about anyone suspending domains, you're back in PIPA SOPA controversy territory and talking about due process and censorship. So those anything that
to wrap that up, Phil, but we've got a lot of queue and we're already out of time. Anything real quick?
Okay.
All right. Look, Lisa, I'm sorry, but we have blown through the budgeted time for this and we have barely scratched the surface. If you wish, we can schedule a separate call since we do have over two weeks. A separate call to go through this for the BC to develop comments. You'll see that on my second page under item F, item G, under item 5, I had several places outside of even safeguards that the BC should consider commenting as well. I did want to give time to Anjali Hansen to talk briefly about the RAA comments she's developing, and then I need to wrap up the policy section. Anjali, you want to make a quick comment and get the...
This is David. Could I just make one quick statement that... I agree with some of the comments that were made. I disagree with others. So I look forward to participating in the call devoted to the GAC advice, so that we can have a more robust conversation and ensure that all the members' views are reflected in the debate.
Okay, this is Anders from WISTA. Just very quickly, also say I think this probably warrants more discussion. I just want to make a very quick general observation, and it makes me a little bit concerned that we're even discussing, not taking GAC advice into account here. I mean, just a general concern in terms of, ICANN needs to maintain the multi-stakeholder credibility. I think we run a risk here if we don't do that. So, but yes, I agree. We should probably have a more discussion on that.
I will schedule a call for mid next week on this topic so that we've got plenty of time to work through our comments.
Great. I'll give you a list of times I'm available so that I can help to conduct the call. Anjali, did you want to make a brief comment on RAA?
Yes. Benedetta, I sent you a little outline. I don't know if you have time to load it right now. It's by email. But I think this is also an issue that we should have another call about. And I wanted to let everyone know that I have started drafting the RIA comments, and I think I bit off quite a bit for given my experience in this area. For the record, I do not have a conflict on the RAA, except that we are an applicant for .BBB. So at some point, I suppose I would have a conflict, but not currently. So here's the outline of the issues that were previously circulated for adding as comments. It's on the screen now. And one of the comments was validation of who is data. Now, under the new revisions, there's quite a few provisions that address that, so I'd just like everyone to look and see, I think, one more time in the newer revisions that have been posted, if you find anything lacking there that should be addressed. I think one thing is that we want perhaps at least an annual re-verification of who has data. I think there's some potential for fraud if they're only required to verify at one point. I think the second comment that somebody raised was the pattern or practice of compliance failure should be grounds for termination. I believe that is now sufficiently addressed, but again, I would ask for your expertise in reading the provisions and let me know if you disagree that, or if you would like to further comment on how they've addressed that in the current version. I think, Susan, you were going to provide something on the privacy proxy specifications. So if you can...
I haven't looked at it since the ICANN meeting to see if they changed anything, but I'll go back and do that and provide you with some comments.
Yeah, there's two specifications involving who is, so...
I don't think they changed the proxy, though.
No, they didn't?
Excuse me. All right, so that's great. And then the ICANN, I sent a memo around at 10:30, so you probably haven't had a chance to read it, but it's ICANN's memo explaining what they've done in this most recent version, and they claim that they've now addressed all outstanding law enforcement concerns. So I would love it to know if law enforcement...
How do we validate that? Who do we even ask in law enforcement?
Bobby Blaine.
Anjali, if you phrase that question together, I'll push it over to Bobby.
Okay, yeah, I just spoke on a panel with him up at the INTA meeting on the Internet. So, but if you have his email, that'd be great. And then, Steve, I think number 5 is something that you've been particularly interested in. And so I would defer to you on that issue. And then Ron Andruff had stated that, prior to getting these revisions, that if there are more changes, we want another opportunity to comment on those. I don't know if it's going to, that could go on endlessly, but I can put that in there as well if you think it's still applicable, given that they've come out with what they call a final revision. So those are just some of the issues that you all had raised initially that I had started to draft comments for, and then they came up with the revision. So I think a lot of these issues have been now honed in on, and your initial issues may have gone away. But please let me know. Whoever has time to look at this final version, and especially all of the specifications, which takes a lot of time, but I would highly appreciate anyone's input. And so what I was thinking is if people could email me, whoever's interested, their comments, and I can try to just at least collect them and put them in, a good format. We could have another call if you all are interested and have the time, or I could just circulate. I mean, we could either do this via email or we could do a call.
These comments are due May the 13th, since the new final was just published on Monday. And thanks, Anjali, for getting started on that. Ron Andruff contributed a paragraph or two, and I know Susan's working on something as well. And let's try to set up a time next week. Thanks, Anjali. I'll give the time back to you, having kind of ruined the agenda like this. Sorry about that.
Some people raised their hand. I don't know if that was in relation to this. Okay, out of time. All right.
All right. John, is there anything that we should know in terms of an update on the council?
Elisa, can I just give back the CSG time so you could use it for other purposes? And we
yes,
can do a
thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. We will move on then.
Elisa, John is not on the call. This is Betty speaking. We don't have either of the counselors on the call.
Okay. Just seeing email, he is sending his apologies. In terms of the last thing I really wanted to cover, Benny, if you can give kind of an update on the procedure for elections. We're going to be announcing the official start of the election period. If you can kind of go over that whole process, that would be great.
Yes, of course. In terms of the timeline, the nomination period for the elections for the Vice Chair of Finance and Operations will begin on the 6th of May, and that's a period of 2 weeks that will continue until the 20th of May. Then we will have a candidate call on either the 22nd or 23rd of May, depending on candidate availability, which will be, as usual, recorded and transcribed and posted to the BC membership list. Voting will open on the 27th of May for 1 week until June the 3rd. And the announcement of the outcomes after counting by the voting officer and validation by the verifying officer will be announced on June the 5th. Is there anything else you'd like me to go over about the election?
No, thank you, Benedetta. I would just like to add that there have been a few members that have expressed interest today, which is great news. I would like to add that clearly members from different regions are very much encouraged to apply so that we've got some diversity in terms of geographical representation in the executive committee would be great. But, if we're not able to achieve that, then obviously we'll need to move forward with the candidates that we will have. So, very good on that note. So thank you so much, Benedetta. One other thing that we talked about at the Beijing meeting was sort of putting together this global outreach interest group, and I'm not even sure if that's the right name, but there were some members that expressed interest in participating in such a group, and they were Zahid, Aparna, Aisha, Jensen, Mohammed, Marilyn, and Andy Mack. And so we don't have time to really obviously dive into this right now, but I did want to take note of that, and I will reach out to them separately to see if that's something that they still would like to pursue.
Elisa, this is Gabby from Instituto. I would like to join that group as well.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, just to let everyone know, one thing that we had talked about in one of our meetings recently was additional amendments to the charter that has not fallen off of my list of to-dos. And it is something that I am will continue to work on, and we'll need to kind of go back and address that in time. Is there anything else that anyone wanted to cover? So it sounds like as a result of this meeting, we will be scheduling, it sounds like, two calls. One call to do a deeper dive into our comments on the GAAP communique, and another call to get further into our response to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement.
And just one, it's Marilyn. If, sorry, on the ATRT questions specifically, do you want us to try to do that online first?
I think that probably makes sense. And it sounds like that's something that you had interested in taking the lead on, Marilyn?
Sure. I'll just send some introductory questions to the BC private list and ask members what else we would like to add or comment on. Is that okay?
I should probably defer. That's probably not my place to do that. Steve, I'll defer to you on that.
Okay.
Steve, is that okay?
Yes.
This is Anders from WISTA. Just a general observation. If we could schedule the next call, try to avoid Friday. I'm conscious that some of our members in a different time zones, it may be quite late for them on a Friday afternoon evening. That's my only observation.
Okay, thank you for that.
Alisa?
Yes.
Andrew, just wanted a quick feedback from Beijing as well. Two things. First of all, I wanted to thank everybody who was able to make it to the meeting that we had with the .Africa folks, both in terms of our outreach. We touched a lot of people in that region who I think are important, and that was great. But just on a personal level, as a relatively newer member to the BBC, the willingness of people to stop by and say hello and just show the flag was really very much appreciated. As a new member, I think it made me feel great, but also as a representative of the BC to the wider outside world, especially to Marilyn Jones' point about trying to reach out to some people with connections to government, I think it showed us very nicely and really appreciated everybody who was able to do that.
So I'll just follow up on that. It's Marilyn.
I think we actually have to close the call. I'm sorry. I'll work with Benedetta to schedule those meetings for next week so that we can get our comments prepared, and then if anybody has anything else, if they can just take it to the list. So I appreciate everyone's time. I know we had a lot to cover today, and we'll take it from here. So thank you so much for everyone joining today's call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Alisa. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.